Our next guest has a lot of text on his business cards. Thomas Wilkins is music director of the Omaha Symphony, a position he's held since 2005. Additionally, he is principal guest conductor of the Hollywood Bowl Orchestra and the Germishausen Family and Youth Concert Conductor Chair with the Boston Symphony.
And in that role, he'll be conducting the Tanglewood Family Concert tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. in Ozawa Hall. The concert provides an engaging concert, especially interesting for children 3 to 8 and their families.
It is a beautiful program filled with gems, with everything from the Creatures of Prometheus to Peter and the Wolf. It is a great pleasure to welcome Thomas Wilkins to the roundtable. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the program. You've never been with us before, and it's very nice to have you here.
Yeah.
So what does your year look like? How do you parse all that stuff?
Well, I live most of my life on an airplane because every week I'm either flying home to Florida, which is my home base.
So you don't even live in one of the three states that you work in?
Actually, now it's 4 states because I just recently joined the faculty at Jacobs School of Music at Indiana University. But I do have a home there in Bloomington. I have a home in Florida, of course, and a home in Omaha. So that mitigates some of the travel because at least I don't have to pack most of the time.
Wow.
Now, I'm thinking Hollywood Bowl is mostly summer work, right?
It is summer, right. We open the season in June, and then we open the season in June right after I end my season in Omaha, and then we close the season in September just before I begin my season in Omaha.
And so where does this fit in?
This week?
Yeah. Well, your role here for the family concerts.
Well, I'm in Boston about 30 to 40 days a year. And so, as I said, I spend most of my time just figuring out which direction I'm flying.
Wow. Now, Lenny Bernstein, of course, Lenny to some of us,
right,
Lenny
of course,
had, you know, a good part of his...
Excuse me, let me pick up that name you just dropped on the floor. There you go.
Thank you for that.
Sure.
Part of his incredible reputation was what he did for children.
Right.
How much of that has affected you?
Well, it has profoundly affected me because I was a young kid who went to a symphony orchestra concert and discovered that day at the age of 8 that I wanted to not only be a musician but a conductor. And so as I progressed through my career, that gem of inspiration was always present. And so I'm just honored that I get to do, as part of my living as a musician, as a conductor, I get to do that same thing that Bernstein did.
Now, I know something about you that others may not know, and that is that you grew up as a practitioner of one of my favorite instruments, the tuba.
Yes.
And, of course, there is no greater. I play it on our fund drives all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
There is no greater story than Tubby the tuba.
Right.
And I believe the son of Tubby the tuba writer lives in our area.
That's what
David
I heard.
Tripp.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
what I heard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So my question is, do you play it? Do you play the have you ever played the tuba solo in Tubby the Tuba?
I have not, but I have conducted the Tubby the Tuba with my principal tuba player in Omaha and have threatened to do it here in Boston, as a matter of fact.
What is it? So I want to talk about Omaha just for a second, because
okay.
Omaha has a wonderful reputation of just having an amazing, beautiful orchestra. How does
right.
that, how does, give us a little bit of that history of what has made that so special.
Well, part of what, this is my 15th season now as music director. I'm the longest tenured music director in the orchestra's history. And part of that reason is because the city of Omaha itself is a pretty, pretty special place. It's extremely philanthropic. Our schools, public schools, are first-rate hospitals, 2 medical schools in that town. And quite frankly, the axiom for the amount of support that an orchestra ought to have is basically for every 250,000 people that you have of population, you should be able to raise $1 million. So theoretically, our annual budget in Omaha should be about $3.5 million. And yet it's $8.5 million.
Yeah.
Because the city of Omaha says, we're just going to do things differently at every level of living, from social services to public education to certainly for the arts. So I have a $100 million concert hall that was paid for the day I walked in the door.
Wow.
It's a pretty special place.
So what are you able to do then with that generosity and with that very nice, I guess it's beyond nest egg, right?
Yeah, yeah. We're approaching a $60 million endowment, which is unheard of for an orchestra that size.
Yeah.
But one thing that it enables to do is to function without looking over our shoulder. The other thing is that when we come up with creative ideas, we don't have to worry over whether or not they can be fiscally successful.
And superstars. I mean, obviously, with all of that money, you can afford a superstar or two.
Yeah, but, you know, it's more about how can we be more relevant, I mean, really relevant to the life and the lifestyle of the community that we live in.
For example,
We can take our orchestra into, we can split up our orchestra and take them into hospice situations or in the Omaha Housing Authority. We have a program called Educator is Maestro, where middle school and high school conductors get to conduct my orchestra on the repertoire that they're working with their kids.
Wow.
And they're getting a private lesson from me at the same time. And, you know, can you imagine, this is the first time you're hearing all the notes play correctly?
Right.
You know, and they're learning how to make their students better musicians. We have a choral collaborative where we do a major choral work every year, and we combine two high school, because choral singing is high school choral singing is very big in Omaha and the surrounding areas. But there are all these other kinds of ancillary things that don't necessarily have anything to do with doing Beethoven, Brahms, Haydn, Mozart at 8 o'clock at night on a Friday night, that we still get to contribute to the community because we have that foundational support.
Well, yes, but I'm sorry to do this to you, but back to the superstars.
Name, sir.
Are you able to do that?
We are able to do that. So we get to, and you know, it's funny because when I first got there, one of the administrators said, well, why would we hire a Josh Bell? Not Josh Bell, it's a bad example because everyone's heard of Josh Bell, or Yo-Yo Ma, if most of the community hasn't heard of him. And I said, well, it's because it raises the water for everybody else in the room. And it creates a different level of expectation of what we call excellence. And that was certainly my mantra in the very beginning, is that we're going to redefine what excellence is. And everyone came along.
Uh-huh.
So give us an idea about your role here as Family and Youth Concert Conductor Chair with the BSO. So as you said, what, 30 days you spend?
30, 40 days
here in Massachusetts. So when you program, do you work with Tony to program this concert?
We do. And pretty much the programs are mine, and they get a stamp of approval or not. So far, mostly approval from Tony. And part of that reason is because they believe in my philosophy of what an education concert is about.
Which is,
I'm not worried that Beethoven and Brahms and Tchaikovsky and Stravinsky can take care of themselves. The music is with us in the 21st century for a reason. It has the properties that has allowed it to withstand the test of time. So I'm not afraid to present a piece of music written by Stravinsky or a living composer for that matter to a fourth grader, because I know it will work based on its own properties. And so when I create a program, I am also trying to teach, and by extension, we are trying to teach these kids in the audience something about how to live their lives,
right,
and to understand that music is a contributing factor to that. So for example, if I do a program that's based on orchestration, they're going to learn something about orchestration. They're going to learn the instruments of the orchestra, but they're going to also understand what it means to exist in a community, that there are properties in an orchestra that makes it work with all the different voices, with all their different strengths. And those same properties, I keep using that word properties today, maybe because I'm buying a new house, but...
In which place this time?
Yeah,
that's right.
This is a new state, isn't
right.
it? Yeah.
No. But I want kids to understand basically three things when they come to an orchestra concert. First of all, that it's fun, that they didn't have to sit still and not do what kids do, which is move and wiggle. I say to parents all the time, don't worry about teaching your kids how to listen. I'll teach them how to listen. You just relax, you know, just let them be in the space.
How great an audience is say 3 to 8, that core audience, how great is that audience? I mean, what opportunities do you have?
Well, if you mean number, it's usually a full house.
No, but, I don't mean that. I mean, what is the opportunity you have to just do what you said about your philosophy of teaching,
right,
of how open they are to what you you're giving them?
That's the thing. They're really open, but to my earlier point, I want them to have fun.
Yes.
So I can't take myself more seriously than I take the music that I'm trying to present to them. And so I'm in the audience, I'm in their face, and I write my own scripts, which means I have the ability to improvise, as it were, and I can play off of whatever happens in the audience, you know. The other thing that I want them to learn is that this music has a direct relationship to their everyday lives. And the fact that this thing called an orchestra is theirs, and this place called Symphony Hall is their space. It's not just a space for grown-ups. So factoring in all of those things, it is the best opportunity, because the moment that you become their colleague and not some dude standing there with a bunch of note cards, you know, I say, I don't care. I don't want a kid to come home from a children's concert and have their parents go, what did you learn today? And they say, well, I learned that the key of E flat has three flats in it. That doesn't do anything to change their lives. Yeah. But when they learn that an orchestra has many different voices, and all those voices are, they're so different. Some are stronger, some are weaker, some are louder, some are softer. And yet they figure out a way to work together that this beautiful product happens. And it just so happens that it's exactly like my classroom, or exactly like my family, or exactly like my neighborhood, or exactly like my community. For me, that says that music has done its job. Because when a composer writes, they write music so that we are better human beings after we experience that music, for the most part. I know there are examples where that's not the case. But when Beethoven gets us from C minor to C major at the end, he doesn't want us to go, wow, there's a C major arpeggio, and then there's a half a descending C major scale, and then all of an ascending C major. He wants us to say, he says to us, I know you bought into the despair and the challenge and the obstacle of that feeling of C minor. You don't need to know it was C minor. You just need to know that it identified with something in your life. And therefore, I'm going to give you this sound at the end of the symphony that makes you go, yes, that's who I am. That's what I want to
now,
be. That's what we're trying to do.
Now, as a professor.
Just less than a minute. Go ahead.
Okay, really quickly. As a professor teaching students,
right.
Do you teach them how to teach kids, or do you teach them how to conduct?
I teach them how to do both, but I teach them that conducting is more about making the people around them, both in the orchestra and in the audience, better, and it's not about them.
This year's family concert featuring the Boston Symphony Orchestra, led by conductor Thomas Wilkins, takes place Saturday, otherwise known as tomorrow, July 27th at 10 a.m. in Ozawa Hall, tanglewood.org for more information. What a great pleasure, Thomas Wilkins,
it's
to meet
been a
you.
Lot of
Thank
fun.
You very much.
Thank you. Pleasure
great
to be
pleasure.
Here.
Terrific.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from Albany Institute of History and Art, located in downtown Albany, New York.